Let's go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion or contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. And we declare and decree at the end of today's meeting that saints, we are edified in Christ alone. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel 28, all the way in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. I'm going to wrap up the series on the man on a mission. Last week, Sunday, we paid attention to burdens in prayer, right? And we used the example of a man called Nehemiah. Is that correct? And what did we say happened to Nehemiah? Nehemiah heard a report. Is that correct? And that broke his heart. What happened? That led into what? Fasting and prayer. That's Nehemiah chapter 1 and Nehemiah chapter 2. Then he prayed and he went to survey the land. Remember? He went through the land, surveyed the land, made a plan. Then he had opposition. Sambalat and... Right? So they opposed him, right? And eventually, we'll now see that he was able to build the wall eventually. But before we get there, right, we see that in Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 18, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That instruction to go ye therefore and teach all nations, is it for a particular group of people? Or is it for every Christian? Okay, let me ask that question differently. Is that instruction for a particular set of human beings? Yes. Who are the human beings? Believers. Those are Christians, right? So what is your mission as a Christian? To find a way to go into the world and preach to every creature. Preach to every creature. Preach to everyone. You know the song we sang today? Conscious of your power working, conscious of your mandate giving. A city set on a hill can be hidden. A candle it is placed on a... what is placed on a candlestick? A candle place is placed on candlestick. A candle is placed on candlestick. Right? It now says, I start up fires. What does it mean to start up fires? It means that in the heart of one, you are igniting with a passion for the things of God. Right? That is your task and your mission in this world. Look at the song. It now says, from one and two, we turn to what? Millions. The only way we turn to millions and then turn to billions is by we going ye therefore and preaching the message of the gospel. So Jesus says, go ye therefore and preach to all nations. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. The second song we sang says, I will preach. I'll preach Jesus where? All over the world. I'll preach Jesus all over the world. His fire is burning. His fire is burning in my heart. Right? Yeah. So in the real sense, we'll find out that the way that we give our hearts to our commitment to our lives is to ensure we give our commitments to Jesus. What do I really mean by that? Every believer has one primary vision and mission statement. What is your mission statement? Right? Yeah? Your mission statement is to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm saying that if you do every other thing effectively except that, to God, you've not done well. Are we together? Are you with me? If you do every other thing except that, to God, you've not done as well. Because when everybody's going to stand before God on the day of judgment, right? And you'll give a report of all the things that you've done on your life, right? And one of the things that will be fundamental will be, what did you do with the gospel of Jesus? How did you behave with the message of Jesus? So she's going into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, right? Look at Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Look at Psalm 22, verse 27. On Wednesday, we paid attention to, and the earth shall be filled, is that correct? With the knowledge and the glory of God, as the waters what? Covers the sea. Is that Habakkuk chapter 2? On Wednesday, we also paid attention to the resting place of God, is that correct? We explained what it means by God rested on the seventh day. Did we talk about that? Yeah? We spoke about how God wants to enter into his rest, the place of rest, and God wants us to enter into his rest. I would say it's a combination of two of them. Right? So look at verse 27. And the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the what? The governor among the nations. He is the governor among the nations. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor amongst the nation. And the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kingdom of the nation shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor amongst the nation. What does that mean? That is trying to say that in the real sense, when you look through God's plan on the earth, is to ensure that everybody is what? Covered with his light. Or his light shines everywhere. Right? Say God's light. Is shining in the earth. Say God's light will keep shining in the earth. Right? So we see that God wants to be the governor amongst the nations. So the nation is there. Will that be go ye therefore into all the world? Amen. Go ye therefore into all the what? Go ye therefore into all the world and what? Preach the gospel. Now everybody you preach to that comes into the war, into the faith, is going to be part of God's holy nation. So Hebrews 12 now lets you see, says we've come to Mount Zion, the what? The city of the living God. Can we say the heavenly Jerusalem, is that correct? The general assembly of the what? Yeah, the church of the firstborn. The general assembly, right? We saw that what firstborn is in the Bible, right? And that's similar to what you call first fruits, remember? Did we talk about that? What is first fruits? The first of many, summarily. When you see the first fruit, it means that is to show that there is more. The Bible uses the first fruit concept to teach about the resurrection of Jesus. In 2025, a lot of us as churches, we use the concept of first fruit to teach about what? Your first salary in the year. Yeah? Or your first salary when you get a job. Right? Is it wrong to give your first salary when you get a job? No. Right? But is that what the Bible is teaching? So if you are to give your first salary because you get a job, you know some people, you promise God some things you've not redeemed. Eh? God, if you give me this job, I will serve this life for the rest of my life, Lord. God, let's enter into it. Some people even enter covenant with God. God, let's enter a covenant. God, stand there. God, this is me. What if this interview I just did, if I get it, it's not be lie, alhamdulillah. Eh? The first salary I get, what are you doing? You are trying to whine God. So you are thinking that maybe because God will see the money that is coming ahead, he's saying, 3,000 pounds ahead, 3,000 pounds ahead. Let me just give her the job so that 3,000 pounds. When 3,000 pounds come, now that's why you know that you are owing credit card. That you have to pay back credit card. That's why you know that you want to change your car. That's why you know that your house is not befitting. I just feel like I feel like I can't be living on the third floor. No, third floor is not for right. I want, if at all I'll live in a flat, it's on the ground floor. Yeah? But when you were promising, when you were promising God, right, you were trying to enter into a covenant with God and say, God, I will give you all of this. I'm trying to say, the first fruit as a concept is to show that there is more. So I said that in the Hebrew culture, what happens is that when there's a farm and seeds are planted, right, all the farmer needs to do to know it is time for harvest is to go to the side of the farm and pick one fruit. If he picks or she picks the fruit and realizes that the fruit is ripe, it is an evidence to show that there are many more ripe fruits on that land. And that's the same thing Jesus has come to do for us. He's the firstborn. He's the first begotten. He's showing us that there are many of us as well that will rise and resurrect just like Jesus rose. Hallelujah. So when we come to Mount Zion as believers, we are part of the people that God is building as his church. Matthew's Gospel 16, right? And I will build my church. Is that correct? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, let's look at a few things before we go. Go to John chapter 5 verse 34. I'll wrap up Man on the Mission today and start up next week Sunday on our next series. Look at John 14 verse 34. John 4, 34. John chapter 4, verse 34. Let's read verse 34 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to what? So, was that Jesus' mission statement? That there was something that God has sent him to do in the earth. Right? So, if you look through, look at Acts 20 again. If you look through the scriptures, you'll find out that Jesus had a sense of purpose to come and save the world. That was clear for him. Acts 20, verse 24. Look at verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that thou shalt before me there. He says, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, seeing that bones and affliction abide me. Look at 24. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Hallelujah. Yeah? Look at 24. He says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Right? Who's talking there? Paul. Right? So, did you think that Paul knew he was a man on a mission? You know, Paul was one that, look at Philippians 13. Philippians 13. Philippians 3, sorry. Philippians 3:13. Please, can we check if the mics are off? The mic that's making noise, please. I've turned off my... Hallelujah. Looks like there's a mic that is on. No, none is on? Good? Where are you going to? Philippians 3:13. Look at what it says in verse 13. Brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are what? Before. I press towards, let's read 14 together, 1, 2, 3, go. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, if you read verse 10, it says that I may know him. How many of you know that scripture? That I may know him and what? The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of the sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Oh, we're going to pray today that just like Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Dear saints, Philippians 3 verse 10 is not a prayer point. Paul isn't praying in Philippians 3 verse 10. It's not a prayer point. Right? Philippians 3 verse 10 is a continuation of a statement that was made earlier. Look at verse 8. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, that I may know him. Are you with me? Are you with me? Listen to what I'm showing you. Right? That I may know him. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. So to win Christ is to know Christ. Altogether. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power. So Paul is saying, after I can boast on my works, I can boast in the flesh. But I will not boast in the flesh. I've counted all my boast I could have. My CV, I've done an extensive teaching on that. It's on our website, so you can listen to that. I can boast on my works, but I would rather not boast on my works. I've counted all those things as dung, that I may know Jesus, that I may win. Which is that what he's just talking about. So it's not a prayer point, so it's a statement, right? So believers, can we pray that I want to know God more? Yes. But not from Philippians 3:13. What scripture can I use? Ephesians 3, Ephesians 1, Colossians, Philemon. You can use all those scriptures, not Philippians 3. Now, for Paul to have said that I press towards the mark of the high calling is actually similar to the same context he's talking about from verse 1, right? But I'm trying to say that only a man that's on mission knows that there's something more that he should aim for or he should get. Do you know that Paul said to Timothy, for instance, right? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4.
2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Let's read verse 7 together. 1, 2, 3, go. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. For Paul to say I have fought a good fight, it means that he knew his mission. You cannot say you fought a good fight and finished your course when you didn't know what you were running for. Are we together? So Paul knew what he was contending for on the earth. Paul knew what he was after. Paul knew what his mission and vision was on the earth. That's why he could make that kind of statement. Did Jesus also know? Yeah? So Jesus knew, Paul knew, disciples knew. So those are templates for us to follow to ensure that we get ourselves to be in alignment with the will of the Father. That we follow the direction that God will want us to follow. Or that we will be on course for the work that he is doing. Right? So Paul will give an example to show that we are those who should strive for, you know, for more. Or we should put our mindset with an orientation that there is more that God is expecting from us. See, there is more. See, there is more. So God expects something from you. That you wake up every day reminding yourself that what? You are a man on a mission. What is the mission? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Baptizing them what? In the name of the Father. Right? Yeah. Verse 20 now says, teaching them to observe. That means the concept of baptizing there is not as much water baptism. It's not water baptism. Right? Yeah. The concept, the focus in verse 18 and 19, 20 is to teach. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. And lo, I'm with you always. Yeah. Look at the Nehemiah chapter 6 verse 1. Let's read from verse 1 to verse 6. 1, 2, 3, go. Now it came to pass. Why is he looking for Nehemiah? You've seen it, right? We're good? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Now it came to pass when Sambalat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left thereon. Though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gate. That means I have not finished. Is that correct? Look at verse 2. 1, 2, 3, go. That Sambalat and Geshem said unto me, saying, come, let us meet therefore in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Let's read verse 3 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should that work cease, whilst I leave it and come down to you? Verse 4. Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Verse 5. Then sent Sambalat his servant unto me in like manner the 5th time with an open letter in his mind, wherein it was written in verse 6, it is reported among the heathen, and Geshem said that thou and the Jews think of to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to this word. What do you observe from Nehemiah's responses to Sambalat and all the people that came to him? He was consistent, okay? He was determined to finish what he had started, okay? He was what? Priority. He was firm. That means he stood his ground. Is that correct? What is the example you get? Now, don't forget, we've learned from Nehemiah. He heard a story that was heartbreaking. What did he do? He went to pray. After praying, he went to survey. Now, chapter 6 is an example showing the action of the prayer. Is that correct? The mission itself. But what did Nehemiah ensure he did not allow? Distractions. How many times they come to distract him? So somebody can come to distract you 5 times with an intention, and the 5 times are not legitimate enough for you to stop what you should be firm on or to shift your mind from your priority. You know, some of us need to learn to answer situations like Nehemiah did. Yeah? Imagine, you know, you can wake up one day and say, in my family, today we are going to pray this evening. Right? We're going to pray for like 4 or 5 hours. And somebody comes and calls you by Saturday afternoon and say, Brother Jude, are you home? Want to come and just spend a few minutes with you? Right? You know, an average person, right? I'm saying, okay, if it's something you can move, I say, okay, want to spend time and go and pray. Or let's say evangelism. Evangelism is a better track. Because evangelism is the mission. Evangelism is what is similar to this world that Nehemiah is building. Because he has prayed. You can pray in the night. Evangelism, if you go out at night, you will not meet anybody. Do you understand? So if you and your wife, Brother Judas, Sister Lola, say we are going out for evangelism this evening for 4 hours. I want to start at 6 p.m. Let's say 5 p.m. And somebody says they want to come and visit you at 5 p.m., 6 p.m. Right? What do you not do? Right? Like Nehemiah. I'm saying like Nehemiah. Right? You know, you can actually tell the person and say, oh, we actually have an outreach we are going out for today. Right? Can we make it Monday? Another time. You say, we have an evangelist we are going for. When you come, will you agree to join us to go out? Nehemiah shows an example of the fact that he was, you know, it takes a man to be firm to say no to something 5 times. That means as a man on a mission, you have to have a firm conviction. You have to have a firm conviction that you are rest assured that regardless of whatever they say, I'm saying to you tomorrow, if the government comes out and says that nobody should preach on the road tomorrow in Edinburgh, yeah, if you didn't have conviction before, you will stop preaching. If you had the conviction before, you will find a way to ensure that you don't stop preaching. Mind you, I say you will find a way. Yeah, there are churches in this world. You know, I've subscribed to an Iranian preacher, missionary, for over 5 years now. So they send me newsletters and whatever. Do you know that there are hundreds and thousands of churches in Iran? You know me, I don't talk about what happens in the news, but some of us are thinking that these people are fighting these people is for God, these people is for devil. Do you know that there are actually more churches in Iran than in Israel? You didn't know that? There are more people who fellowship together. So he sent an article to us again yesterday evening of a brother who they're about to deport from the UK, from the US. Somebody who sneaked into, let me not talk about this online, I'll tell you offline. I'm trying to say the commitment he had, he was good for evangelism one day, and a car knocked him down, he broke his head. Took him to hospital, he got healed, he came back, and he's back to the mission field. Back to the mission field. I'm saying, if you have a firm conviction, nothing can take you from what you want to do. That is the mindset you should have. They came to Nehemiah, let's go and play football. Why would you want me to, this is just what Nehemiah said. Why do you want me to come and play football when I'm going for evangelism? Eh? You know, we're doing one Thanksgiving. Eh? Want to go to one Thanksgiving? Yeah? We're doing one, what do you call these gatherings together? Not love feast. One, the name? Not even harvest. Different names people just call itself. Eh? What do you call the name? And this is even another example. Yeah, if you realize that you have to be firm on your conviction, regardless of what it is, every other thing becomes secondary. Yeah, someone was inviting me for something in the someone invited me for their to come and attend their one of their celebration in their church. And I said I can't come to your church because this is where my church meets. Is that not correct? Yeah, the worst that can happen is when are you going to be done? That day. When we finished from church, after I greeted everybody in the church, we packed everything, I drove down there, I marked my presence there, and I left the place. If you like, don't be appreciative of that. Don't be happy. But if some of us, I know you can be thinking because I'm the pastor of the church. But let me ask you a question. What if you were to be the pastor of the church? What will you say? And I'm saying to you that I'm not just acting that way because I'm a pastor of the church. Go and ask of my record in Afibabula University any day, any time. I didn't miss service once. Go and ask them. In Sunday, I'm in church. We meet, start church by 7 o'clock. Yeah? We go and arrange the venue because the venue we use for church is where they used to do party the night before. We'll go there. I'll arrange them by 7 o'clock. 9 o'clock, go and change to come back for church at 10. Sunday evening, we have rehearsal. The only day I was free every time throughout my almost 5 years was on Monday. Tuesday Bible study, I was the most consistent. I'm not saying this because I'm not myself. I was nobody. I was not a pastor. I was not a leader. I was not a leader. You cannot remember. I was not a leader, man. If you don't remember, I'm reminding you. I was not a leader. The only time I led in school was when the leadership were having some issues and the chaplain called me and said I should stand in their place for a few weeks. I was a leader. But there was no pianist in the entire affair. Go and ask them for my 5 years. None of them was more consistent than I am. Can you say that too? None of them. None. I'm saying, I'm online. I'm live. None. I was a pastor. Tuesday, Bible study, I'm there. Wednesday, prayer meeting, I'm there. Thursday, praise rehearsal, I'm there. Friday, good music and instrumental, I'm there. Saturday, choir rehearsal, I'm there. Sunday, back to back. No matter what happened, you knew. And guess what? Yeah, you know, if I finish with the third class now, maybe you'd have said, that's why I was serving. You know, you can serve Jesus and still do well in school. Yeah, I was still the class. I was the class prefect of the class with the highest number. One day, I was standing with one of the class prefects of that course, and the course mates of that guy were saying, Joshua, YBJ, wish you were our course rep. The course rep was standing beside us. So. YBJ for president. Yeah, we wish you were our course rep. Because they knew how far and over and beyond I was going for my own colleagues, my mates. So I was going over and beyond for my colleagues. I was doing well in school, not well, I was doing very well in school, and I was still serving Jesus. That was because I had my mind fixed on the fact that there's something God has called me to do. And I must not allow anything to distract me. Dear saints, I'm saying to you today, it's another month coming again. You know you finished the first half of the year. Another half of the year. Stop giving excuses. Wake up. Leave your bed. Leave your house. Go out for evangelism. Let me tell you, if it's not easy for you to go for evangelism every day, look for one day in a month. Look for one day in 2 weeks and compress the hours together and go out. It still counts. Are we here? It still counts. It still counts. It's important. Very important. Right? Ensure that nothing else takes. Just like Nehemiah, he was focused. He avoided distractions. He avoided distractions. He said, no matter what happens, if I leave this thing now, I hope you know, time is, I'm going to talk about that next month in the Faith series, Faith and Folly series. Time is not something you have for the rest of your life. You know how old you were yesterday is not how old you are today. Right? How old you are today is not how you will be, how old you will be tomorrow. Yeah? Look at where you were 10 years ago. Look at where you are right now. Right? What exactly have you done for the kingdom? What exactly have you done that you've sacrificed for the things of God? Jesus had a vision statement. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good. My dear brothers, my dear sisters, are you doing good? Are you doing good? Are you doing good? Have you seen those your colleagues? Right? Have you seen your colleagues? Right? That you sit beside them and ensure you're finding a way to get them discipled. Or you're finding a way to just start up conversations. How did I meet you? No, go for that. It's not airport. I was timing her. No. We sat on the same flight. You forgot him? From Edinburgh to London. My last trip to Nigeria. That was my seat partner. Are we here? Are we here? Where is she now? Oh, yeah. Are we here? Right? Yeah, I'm trying to say, You saw how I used the opportunity, remember? And I'm just trying to say, every opportunity counts. It matters. Are we here? It matters. Let me tell you, there's some people you meet. Your first conversation with them might not be about Jesus. But you have it in mind that you, Jesus, you will hear Jesus. And there are those, and the reason is because sometimes, you know, it's not every time you're meeting people and you are, Jesus might be the conversation. Conversations can start from anything. You know, you can start from talking about football finals. And from football finals, you end up in Jesus. I'm trying to say, ensure you see yourself as a man on a mission. Have you learned something?